listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Our guest today is the Honorable Alan B. Clark. And during the break, I went and got my t-shirt, and let me read it to you. Rich people start wars, poor people die in them, and their children pay for them.
And I'm glad you found that. If I may read this quote on my page 429 that I mentioned.
Please do.
This was in a book called War, which was written with a pseudonym, Cincinnatus. And so obviously he decided in 1940 when it came out that he better not say his true name. But he says here, "May I give you the thoughts, if not the words, of our fine patriotic young America, when it's radios and suggestive movies, blah, blah, blah. We will enlist at once for the supreme sacrifice under the stars and stripes, even on foreign soil. But when the war is over, our friends and families, the common people of the true America, will remember and hold sternly responsible for the deep damnation of our taking off our real foes, operating behind the closed doors in the White House, the halls of state," and I love this, what he says, "the curtained, paneled palaces and citadels of New York and Washington." And it says that if we fight, we must and should win at any cost. When you palaver and deceive and cheat and trick and shout this country into war for your alien friends, warmongers, foreign allies, and cushion pashas, you who are too old to fight will secure for your sons easy berths far from the front. We shall enlist and fight and suffer and die for America. We shall say morituri te salutamus, but when our maimed, tortured, or dead bodies return, our relatives, friends, associates, and real America will call to mind your honeyed words, because you made us fight not for our America, but for your sordid foreign interests, your love of power."
Wow.
Bingo.
Yes.
That guy put it together or what?
Yes, absolutely.
See, I heard that quote somewhere in some other book or something, or parts of it. I had to go buy his book.
Of course.
You know, I had to buy the whole book. You probably have it in your library.
I probably do. We should compare. Oh, I couldn't. One day I started my book list and I thought, I'm not going to put the list of all my books up. It will take me months to do this.
Yeah.
I thought it was a waste of time.
You don't want to be a library with a Dewey Decimal System, do you?
Right, right. Anyway, I was talking about the Russian deal, and Edward Snowden, I'm sure a lot of people know this, took asylum in Russia. And so any kinds of situation that the United States is now going against Russia just may be associated with his asylum and the fact that he really is a courageous, very courageous person for revealing what he revealed. And
I have an ambivalent feeling toward these whistleblowers on a very macro strategic level rather than these whistleblowers that have heard hearsay, and we heard somebody say at a party and blah, 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 you know, which is what's been happening here recently with the recent whistleblowers. They don't have firsthand information. But with people like Snowden and this transvestite military person and so forth, whatever his or her name was, the issue relates to if there's something illegal being done. In some cases it was, but the thing that I have a recollection, Deanna, you may correct me on this or elaborate, is some of those secrets bared our let's see, our systems of collection much less revealed. I'm really concerned about the revelation of our agents that caused them to be killed. And those are that's the trade-off between getting transparency and those two negative aspects, you know, going after the agents themselves and the sources of intelligence collection.
Right. And it's amazing, absolutely amazing, the technology that they are using to gather information, which we should be secure in our homes. If the government wants to issue a search warrant or something like that, they have to have good reason. But now they are scrutinizing our every move without any such legal documentation or reason, which is absolutely very troubling.
Well, it takes away our ultimate freedom in our household.
Exactly. Yes. And they think that they're getting something. For instance, a cell phone with a GPS and all the other. When certain government agencies said, oh, everybody should have a certain kind of a television, and we're going to give you all a cell phone, we're going to do this for you, we're going to do that for you. They think they're getting something for nothing, when in fact it's just a clever way of collecting information on people, and which coincides also with the monopolization of all of the things that people need, like food and food particularly, when everything is, well, all one has to do is drive in any community and look at the store closures. And we all like Amazon because we all love instant gratification, but it's really not serving us well in the long run. And there are several people or several companies that are no longer going to do business with Amazon. They are going to do business online, but not through Amazon.
Yeah.
And these big companies, Amazon and Microsoft, and all of the big companies, people are very naive to think that these all started in somebody's garage. That is just not true. These people had distinct affiliations with certain other, well, with the government. They didn't just decide to build something in the garage and then go out and say, oh, here it is. No, I've looked at the connections because I like doing that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, what you're getting at is, I'm reading a book now called, it's about DARPA, you know, which is that.
Oh, right, right. Yes,
yeah, you've
indeed.
Probably heard of DARPA.
And, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that what they have done ever since I've just started it. So one of the things that I understand they started to do decades ago was to have a very small nucleus of scientists and program managers that would say, okay, we need to develop blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah for the warfare 20 years from now, so right. That they have a contract out with some military arms operation or think tank or whatever, and they're paid to develop it. So they're working on warfare out 20 years from now. Of course, the end of wars, Deanna, is only going to happen when we have the final end times works its way out. Now, I've been a student of prophecy for 40 years. I know where I stand on it, and Nobody's going to change my mind on that. I don't have an open mind about that. That is the only time it's going to work. All right. There will be wars until the very last day. People make money off wars. People like to kill. The evil one wants to propagate wars, wants to have violence. And it starts at the local family level up through the military. It's one of the problems with women in the military. They get abused and harassed. And it's not just women. It's men, too, okay, in the military, to my understanding. And then it goes up to a macro level of warfare. But that's where the majority of our budget is spent, you know, on military and taking care of the veterans of the nation. And, you know, just right on up the line, why everything costs so much all over the world. Because the arms merchants keep, and I have a complete chapter on that. The arms merchants have sold to both sides. And so there's a constant push to have weaponry developed that will take advantage of the other people and win. You know, and if they get to you, you know, you've got to have this weapon. And you don't want them to get ahead of you. You don't want them to get ahead of getting you the hydrogen bomb. So this DARPA thing talks about the beginnings of, you know, our first hydrogen bomb. And the Russians were moving toward it. And they got the Sputnik up faster than we got into space and so forth. All these things, it's like competition. But it makes people money.
Right. Yes. You're absolutely right. And the fact that we have something called the War College, and just and of course the other thing too is that they used to refer to it as the Department of Defense or the Department of War, and then they changed it to the Department of Defense.
Sure. It's a little bit of propaganda.
Yes, of course. You just tweak a word here and there. And it changes people's views of what is going on. But when you look at what the U.S. military has been doing, well, since I've looked at it since the Mexican-American War, it's pretty awful.
Well, you know, there's always been an enemy. There always has to be an enemy. There has to be chaos. There has to be a scaring of the population to support armaments and going to war,
right,
etc. You know, I mean, you know, at one time it was, you know, it was whatever the original First World War, the Germans. I'm trying to think what they called the Germans then. But anyway,
they called them all kinds of the Huns.
The Hun, mm-hmm. Or whatever. And then the fascists, and then the Nazis, and then the communists, and then the terrorists. And, you know, next it's going to be, you know, with the new space command, it's going to be, we need to have a lot of money for space because, you know, we don't know about all these aliens out there, you know. So there's always got to be warfare. And,
right.
You know, Wernher von Braun, we've watched someone that on YouTube that said she had some final conversations with Wernher von Braun. And he said, you know, that's one of the major things that, and he'd come a long way from being a Nazi armaments guy, you know, in Germany, to being able to be convicted to bringing all his friends and buddies and scientists into America, which admittedly did a good job of getting us in with the Saturn and getting us into the moon. And, you know, the Russians supposedly haven't been there yet. So we beat them to the punch 40 years ago, and we only put 12 people on the moon. So what did we accomplish? You know, as a matter of fact, spending all that money. But toward the end of his life, he apparently had this conversation with this person who was on some corporate board with him. And she talked about how he talked about, you know, the constant society has to constantly have an enemy to be able to justify spending money on armaments and warfare. And so that's part of what is the propaganda. And I have an entire chapter on media and propaganda that talks about this, and, you know, the British Tavistock Institute, and, you know, different people that are propagating wars and so forth by using propaganda, you know, to make us hate people.
Right. And typically, they're really not our enemies. They're just standing in the way of something that the big bankers want, or something. They're standing in the way of some other goal.
Sure.
And
listen, I've gotten to the point, Deanna, where I hardly trust politicians anymore. You know, I mean, you know, follow the money. I mean, that's the major thing. That's I say that a couple times in my book, my thesis. Follow the money. Who's making money off this deal? Who's being paid off? What lobbyists are supporting certain congressmen to get things done and bring bills out, you know?
Well, the Congress doesn't actually write any of the bills that they submit. They probably don't even read them. It's the people who submit the bills. There's a name for the group that does that. And in fact, Pelosi.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, she said, "Oh, we've got to hurry up and sign this bill so we can find out what's in it."
Yeah, I know.
She's such an idiot.
What, I don't know
how anybody could possibly support her.
Well, she's in a safe district.
San Francisco. She's in a gated.
She's safe, and so is Schiff. I just heard that yesterday. They're both in safe districts. They have nothing to lose.
Of course.
For their own power and their own money. And look how much Pelosi and her husband are worth today. I mean, I bet you if you did a research and a study about what is the original first net worth statement when you go into public service, you have to list everything. You know, I mean, when I went on public service in 1989, I think it was 89 or sometime, I owned 10 Krugerrands from Australia. I thought this is a way to own gold. That was there, you know. I mean, so you have to put all these things down, and then when they leave office, do a comparative analysis and say, okay, this is what they used to be worth, this is what they're worth now, and, you know, subtract their salary for those years, and so they enrich themselves by why. And so where'd that why come from, right? Special deals, which I know they put people into, you know, some of your constituents that want to have your favor, they put you in special deals that are going to make money. And they do that constantly to get favor and get influence with politicians.
Right.
I'm aware of that personally. Not for me, but for others I've been aware of.
Well, when you go to Washington to serve, quote unquote, a lot of people have good intentions, but as soon as they get there, and they usually get there, they're not millionaires. Most of them are not millionaires, and there's a lot of websites that you can look at to see exactly where they get their money or how they got their money, and you just go along with what the consensus is. And there's really no difference between the two parties. They just have two parties. So the people,
both of them have people with larceny in their hearts, both parties.
Well, of course. And they just have two parties just to make you think that you have a choice when in fact you don't. But there's a lot of websites that talk about the politicians and their net worth before and after. And usually what they do is they get something that they can use to exploit the congressperson.
Well, now you're talking about blackmail.
Yes, I am.
Right, okay. I cover that in my book.
Yes.
Okay. There's a section on that as far as appealing to the lustful desires and greed, et cetera. And once somebody goes over the line, and something that somebody finds out about by taking them on a junket or whatever the case may be, they've got them, okay? Unless they want it to be revealed to their family and to the world, they will vote the way they want them to vote. Now, I'd like to go back to that Pelosi.
Yeah, let's go back to her.
She and her husband are very rich. And I heard something to the effect several years ago. I don't have the resource on that, but I heard that until there was a closure of this issue, that Congress could get insider information from testimonies and so forth and use it to go buy stocks and make investments and so forth. And that was cut off. And I'm sure, you know, perhaps some of these people we've been talking about before that apparent loophole was closed, that's what they used to profit personally.
Well, of course, they're going to invest in warfare kinds of things. They're going, if they say, okay, it's okay to.
Or just business deals, any kind of business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back.
Okay.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, we are back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is the Honorable Alan B. Clark. You may purchase his book at soldiersblood.com. It is self-published, and I recommend that you publish it straight from him and not from that other website. I was just looking at some figures. By 2014, Nancy Pelosi was worth $74.11 million.
Whoa!
She's an idiot. Okay, she's a total idiot. But she must be doing. She's being paid by somebody, obviously. But they know where to put their stock and what to invest in. My gosh, it's. Well, people are living under bridges in their cars. Intense cities, and Chicago, there's a huge, huge population that are homeless, and I just it is very sad. And they're not homeless because they're lazy. They're homeless because their job has been outsourced. You have all the outsourcing that our good friend Ross Perot talked about. He said you're going to see now. He talked a lot about NAFTA and said you're going to see all the jobs go offshore. And he tried to prevent that from occurring, whereas both the Clintons and the Bushes thought NAFTA was a nifty thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, remember we had this that deal, the giant sucking sound?
Right,
remember that?
Right,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, back to Pelosi a minute. Do you know who her nephew supposedly is?
No.
Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, which has a massive homeless problem. Right.
Oh, yes.
And all their other issues, for crying. You know, I mean, all their fires. I'm not so sure, but what these fires are not being set deliberately to tear us down.
It is so. I grew up in California. I grew up in Sacramento. And it just breaks my heart to see not only the fires, but to see them shutting down farmers, because most of the agricultural growth, most of the things that we ate, the fresh products that we ate, came from California.
Sure.
And so what they've done is that they've put the farmer out of business because they weren't building the dams that they should have been building because they were afraid that they were going to destroy the salamander or some dumb little creature that was building in a nest somewhere. And so they have destroyed so much farmland out there. It makes my heart break to see now that they are burning, that things are burning. And so one of the latest fires was started by a smoldering dump truck. And hopefully that guy does a lot of jail time. But he disposed of this big dump truck full of smoldering foliage and things like that. And it set all this acreage on fire. And, oh, my gosh, it's terrible. It's terrible. It just makes my heart sick.
Yeah. Well, you know, back to the Russia deal. Let's get back on that topic.
Yeah, let's do that.
You're the interviewer,
we're visiting.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I appreciate that very much. I appreciate that approach. Well, you know, I studied communism to a modest degree at West Point, and then I went to military intelligence school at Fort Hollabird, Maryland, before I went to Vietnam. I was trained as a prisoner interrogator, and for the first 3 weeks, there were no prisoners to interrogate. And I was really kind of frankly bored. But I was on a plane one day with a lieutenant colonel, Army Green Beret, that had been a tactical officer at West Point and had been one of those what we call stud officers when we were cadets, you know. I mean, straight arrow, good looking, you know, tall and thin and athletic and everything. So he was commanding an area in Vietnam of one of the four that the Green Berets had camps in. And so I made the mistake of telling him I was bored. He said, well, Captain, he says, will you transfer to Special Forces and I will give you a job that you won't be bored in. So I started that job, and I was originally to have been a staff officer in the intelligence S2, they called, which is intelligence analysis, setting order of battle and counterintelligence, et cetera, you know, in your area. And but I never got transferred to him. They ended up deciding they were going to start a clandestine operation against Cambodia and finding out where the base camps were that the communists coming down the Ho Chi Minh Trail were setting up across the border in Cambodia, coming across, attacking us, and going back to the privileged sanctuary, like during Afghanistan, the Waziristan area in Pakistan, you know, where they part of where they found Osama bin Laden several years ago. But one of the most amazing parts of my job, was my almost my first assignment after having getting this unit set up, Deanna, was to debrief for 1 month in 15 different encounters about a 26-year-old or maybe older Cambodian, supposed anti-communist former Cambodian officer that had studied at Patrice Lumumba University. Now, Patrice Lumumba University has had the name changed, part of propaganda, People's University or something like that. But this is in Moscow. And during these 50s, 60s, and 70s, I don't know how long after that, maybe still doing it, the Russians brought young, smart people, young people in from all over the world to Patrice Lumumba University. And in my mind, they were training them to be counter-revolutionary, you know, revolutionaries around the world and to set up operations. You know, some of these people that are Palestinians are have been trained at Patrice Lumumba University from a book that I just read. So they've been involved for a long time to foster and foment problems all over the world, you know.
Of course. That's what they're trained to do.
Yeah. And we probably have too. We probably got our schools for counter-revolutionaries. You know, some people are writing that this latest situation in Bolivia was led by military officers that were trained at our Fort Benning School, School of the Americas, you know.
Oh, right.
That's hot. That's brand new, hot news, hot off the press.
Right. Yes, and the CIA was developed to go in and work in creating problems in an area so that they can demand a military action.
Sure.
That's
well,
pretty
you
awful.
Know, yeah, I have always held with great respect. You know, I've known some former CIA people, and I've always held the ones that I've known in great respect as wonderful patriots. But you know, I can't help but believe there's possibly this rogue element, you know, kind of off balance sheet, as you might call it, even off balance sheet. I mean, CIA is basically off balance sheet, but another off balance sheet aspect of our intelligence operations that are somewhat rogue oriented, you know.
And you can say the same thing about the FBI.
Well, obviously the last couple of three years we sure do know that.
Even when it was initially created, some of the things that they were engaged in were horrific, absolutely terrible. But the things that that the CIA was engaged in Vietnam. Oh gosh, that was just really bad.
Well, I've written about some of those things in my second book, Valor in Vietnam, the Phoenix Program, and so
right.
forth. I have a chapter on that with a former officer that I knew that was assigned to the Phoenix Program.
Right, and I've interviewed Douglas Valentine a couple of times and have his books, and the things that they were experimenting with Vietnam, and of course there was also there were resources that were there that that the rich wanted to take control of, but they created all the problems between the North and the South and moved the population from the South up North to create problems, to create dissension among the citizens there. I've written a lot about Vietnam and what they did to that country and what they did to the leadership and the drugs that came out of Vietnam and the bodies, 58,000 people. And all of the Agent Orange that was used against our own military, that the children of the military that served in Vietnam who were sprayed with Agent Orange are suffering. There are people there that are suffering from physical debilities that they never would have had.
Yeah.
It was terrible what they did.
Yeah, well, several things about what you just said. Number one, of course, you know, about 1 million Catholics moved from North Vietnam to South Vietnam. You know, we pulled this fella, Diem, who was basically almost like a monk in some place in New Jersey. We moved him in. And of course, his brother, he had one brother that was a Catholic priest, and he has one brother who led the secret police, you know, and their intelligence operation. That was Madam New's husband, you know. And I just picked up a book. If I'm able to do a second volume, you know, I stopped with Banana Wars, which really went into the 1930s with the Marines and Nicaragua and all.
Right.
But if I do a second book, I've already written a Russo-Japanese chapter and Anglo-Boer chapter, so I would, you know, go all the way up through the current wars in the Middle East and so forth. But I read a book, and I have several here in my Vietnam section, about some of the very high-ranking South Vietnamese people that we were working to keep free, etc., from the communists. They were dealing drugs from the Golden Triangle, down from Thailand through Laos through Cambodia, and they were dealing those drugs. You know, a lot of our men, I don't know where they all got the drugs, but who knows where they came from. But, you know, a lot of our men suffered immeasurably, not just from Agent Orange, but from getting addicted to cheap drugs in South Vietnam. And when they came back, you know, I had a specific example. When they came back, they needed to keep their drug habit going. It's going to cost them more back here. They had to get into crime, and a lot of them went to prison for that.
Right.
Big mess. Oh, that one really made me sick when I found out about that.
Of course. Absolutely. That would be such a personal tragedy for somebody that fought there and suffered and lost what you lost, to understand that it was the foundation of the entire problem. And for instance, too, Afghanistan and Pat Tillman, who was the football hero, and he thought, oh gosh, I'm going to just go and enlist, and I'm going to go help. And he went to Iraq and Afghanistan, and he was taken out. He was assassinated because he was a very famous football player.
Oh, I remember.
He was going to come home and spill the beans about the fact that the whole war had to do with drugs and bringing drugs in. And it was the CIA and our military that was over there guarding these plants when they're supposedly over there fighting the enemy.
Yeah,
I saw a
chart relative to the opium the opium crops, and you know, when the Taliban first took over that country originally, that was the lowest year of opium production and export out of Afghanistan.
It's because they wanted to stop it.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
So they sent the military in to prevent them from stopping all of this drug flow. And of course, the Taliban became the immediate enemy, where in fact it was the people, Americans, who were bringing this stuff into the country. My gosh, I mean, where do the people, the ghettoized people here, where do you think they're getting their drugs?
It's horrible. You know,
right.
And it goes back to that Iran-Contra deal with Nicaragua, you know, because a lot of those drugs were brought in and sold in the disadvantaged minority neighborhoods in California. As we well know, and I don't know this. I just got this book about Barry Seal.
You know,
Green Beret brought into MENA. Brought stuff into MENA, and you know, he was eventually assassinated. Maybe the book will tell me who they think assassinated him. But you know, maybe that's how these rogue elements finance their operations.
Sure.
With these illegitimate, whatever the word is, you know, a drug trade and so forth. That really makes me sick.
Right.
Makes me absolutely sick to get these poor people who can barely afford it, and all the crime and all the horror and the families related to that.
Right. It's horrible. Absolutely terrible. And of course, when you talk about MENA, then you have to bring in the Clintons.
Oh.
And I think their list of people who have died is growing by the minute.
Well, back to the drugs. What do you do about that? Okay, so let's put that as a question mark. You know, this is one of the problems in society. You mentioned that Tillman was going to spill the beans on that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like, look at all these people that are on the Clinton hit list, all right, presumably and supposedly. And it seems like every time, not only related to them, that somebody's about to spill the beans, they have a suicide, okay, or, you know, an unfortunate death and a whatever happens. And then, you know, I think a lot of times people are blackmailed so that they can be made to do what the powers
absolutely
do. But they also, if they get out of line, they are killed.
Right.
They are killed. And that's part of what happens as far as stopping you from being courageous and revealing these things in the world today. Deanna, it takes a lot of courage to reveal these things sometimes.
It does. And of course, this goes back to, it goes back to a lot of things. Drugs have always been, people want to feel good, or they're addictive, of course.
Listen, I found out a man that was in the state legislature in Texas, heard about him, talked to him one time. He was with two other state legislators and took cocaine for the first time. That was the hook on him, $1,000 a day habit.
Wow.
Lost everything that his family owned, and $1,000 a day habit. Devastating. I don't know if he went into criminal activities. I think his family had a little bit of money. But my God, I mean, it gets expensive to take this stuff. You know, you either have to be rich or you have to steal to pay for it.
Right.
Or prostitute yourself.
Right. It's such a sad thing. And of course, anytime you can get somebody hooked on something, it's pretty well set up that you're going to continue to use.
Yeah, the drug people, you know, give a little bit free.
Right.
That's how they start. Oh, yeah, you'll love this stuff. Just take, you get a little bit free, and then, oh, you're hooked? Okay, well, now you got to start paying for it.
Right. Oh, goodness. And this goes back to, drugs have always been a big deal. We think that it's a modern thing, but it isn't. And
speaking of that, excuse me, before I lose this thought, I talked to a veteran one time of World War II, and he said in that the island fighting, he said they would shoot Japanese, and they were so hopped up on drugs that they wouldn't go down. You know, they'd have two or three bullets. They just keep the adrenaline within them because of the drugs would just keep them fighting. You know, and I think that a lot of our enemies have been addicted. It's been a institutional deal that the powers that be on the other side have gotten them addicted to drugs, so they would almost be super fighters. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's my suspicion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. It's and then there's so many drugs now that they create, and what you're talking about too. Now they've legalized so many of the things that are addictive, so that it almost makes it okay. Because if the FDA says, oh, yes, that's a good drug to take. For instance, I had a friend that was on Prozac for a number of years. And trying to get off of that drug, which was only tested on 287 people before it was, and it was very, the testing was very manipulated. And the companies themselves do the testing. The FDA does not test anything. The companies that produce the drugs do the testing, then they pay the FDA to accept their testing. And Prozac was tested by 287 people. And this woman that I knew tried for, 4 years to get off the drug. And as she was attempting to do this, she got Bell's palsy, because the drug has such a hold on people that it produces not just a psychological consequences when you're trying to break, but also physical. So now a lot of the things that the FDA puts out legally, which would be illegal for the average person to be selling on the street, is now okay to sell, and you can just take your prescription to the pharmacy and pick it up, and they don't have to have somebody stand out on the street because, oh, the FDA approved it, so it's okay. Well, it's not okay.
What about those opioids from that Connecticut company?
Aren't
they practically facing bankruptcy because of the claims against them?
Yes.
The opioid. Is that the opioid crisis?
Yes. There's a crisis. And there's one major company that produced most of the of the opioids.
Very strong painkiller.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's so many people that are dealing with pain, for various reasons.
Yeah. By the way, you know, that leads me to a thought about myself. Here I am. I've walked on artificial legs for 52 years. And by the way, when we have several minutes, I'd like to tell you my story about my height story, which it's got some humor to it, which we've been talking about so many heavy subjects. I'd like to bring that up sometime or other. When you tell me we have a couple of minutes.
Okay.
I have, with everything that I walk, how I walk with my artificial legs, and I go use my chair during the day around the house because I just can't wear them all day long, I've never had to have a knee replacement or shoulder replacement or hip replacement. I've been blessed, you know, not to have any of those problems or any pain. I mean, I have discomfort, but don't have any pain relative to these legs.
Wow.
I'm walking on them all the time. But I have what I would like to, when we, maybe after the next break, let's both remember, it's hard
okay.
for me, to tell you the story about my height with my legs.
Okay. I think people are really very interested in that, because up until a very short time ago, when I know somebody that has a paraplegic son, I had no idea what kinds of challenges that they have. You just see somebody sitting in a wheelchair without realizing how they function, what they have to go through.
Oh yeah. Well, especially the paraplegics and quadriplegics especially.
Yes.
But, you know, they don't get much exercise at all, you know, unless they have an arm thing that they can do, which is minimal, or maybe pushing their wheelchair on, you know, longer
right.
distances just around the house, to have deterioration of their organs.
Right.
And they have shorter lives.
Which is very sad. Yes.
Well, do we have a couple of minutes here, you think?
We're going to a quick break just momentarily.
Okay, all right.
And
when
we come back from the top of the hour, then I want you to tell us.
Okay, about the legs.
Okay. Yes.
My height. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
I want to tell that story.
Now, there's one family that has really made most of the money in the opioid situation.
Yeah.
And it is the Sackler family.
Yes, yes.
And they are behind the all of these opioids, OxyContin.
Sure. And, that's it, OxyContin. That's the deal, yeah.
Yes. And I think that they will probably get away with it. There have been lawsuits filed, and but they will probably get away with this because of their money, because of their influence.
Sure.
But they are being sued, and apparently there's a couple of sisters, and there's a couple of Mortimer and Raymond Sackler, who built the company into a narcotics giant. And there's all their children, grandchildren. And they're worth $13 billion, according to Forbes. Okay. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is Deanna, and we have 3 minutes until we go to the top of the hour, we were talking about OxyContin and the Sackler family And you can also compare that to the Roundup lawsuits that have been filed because of the glyphosate. And people who develop this stuff, they know that it's dangerous, but they anticipate that there's enough people who will use their product that they will make sufficient money to pay off whatever lawsuits happen to arise from the relatively few people who will go ahead and bring a lawsuit against them. It's like the tobacco industry. They figured that they would sell enough to compensate. Are you there?
Yeah. Could I digress a second
for absolutely
my height story? Okay. When I was an officer, I was 5'9" tall. So there I am, you know, after 10 days of getting hit with that mortar round in Dokto Special Forces camp, I have both legs off, but I have my kneecaps. So I am roughly 4'6". And the doctor said, we're going to have to fit you with new artificial legs, Captain. How tall would you like to be?
Oh.
It didn't take me long to say 6'2". Because my father was a tall Texan, 6'2", you know. Mm-hmm. My mother was about 5'2", so I kind of evened out in the middle. So I said 6'2". So he kind of hemmed and hawed for about 30 seconds. And, well, actually, you will walk better if you are shorter than you were before. And I said, well, why did you give me the opportunity? You know, kind of like a getting my attitude back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how short? He said 5'8 or 5'7". I said, okay, well, if you as a physician or prosthetist or whatever recommend that, that's what I'll do. So I went to 5'8 for 10 years, 1968 to 1978, when I went on Governor Clements' staff. And then when I was going on his staff, I was going to move to Austin. I had the office right outside the governor's office. And I got a new set of legs, went to 5'11", had to get new trousers with 3-inch longer pants legs, of course. And so I go on his staff, I'm at 5'11". And then 1989, I decided that I was going to Washington with the Bush, George H.W. Bush administration at the VA as assistant secretary, eventually cemetery director, head. And so I said, well, I'm going to go to 6'1". So I get a new set of legs, 6'1". And then I come back after that administration, about 95, work at the Veterans Hospital, went to 6'2". So I tell kids in these youth leadership conferences that I speak at, I said, look, this story has two morals. Number one, never give up on your goals in life. And number two, grow in all your jobs.
Right. That's very good.
The kids love it. The kids love to have a little humor like that after I talk about such serious subjects, you know.
Sometimes you really just have to bring in something that will make it okay for you to not make fun of yourself, but to simply be okay with what's happened to you.
Sure.
Okay, we're at the top of the hour. We will be right back.
Media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.